Welcome to the Solar Coaster, a renewable energy themed talk show right here in lovely Maui County. All right, aloha. Welcome to the Solar Coaster live show here in both Maui County with Josh Porter, that's me, and Mr. Vericard over there in Osaka. What's up, Jay?
It is hot. Which is apparently just happening to everybody these days, but it has been a brutal summer. Welcome to Osaka, Japan. My home away from home, and mostly home these days since we got locked away over here.
There you go, man. So for those of you that don't know, Jay lives in Osaka these days. You know, he's a former Maui resident. Maybe hopefully you'll get back here. We miss you here, Jay.
Well, my folks are still there. It's coming.
Yeah, we got that going on. And so we have an opportunity here to get to do a show. We haven't done a show in well, maybe a few months. We have since then been engaged in some interesting stuff. I will say that Hawaii Energy Conference was a wrap here, 10-year anniversary. We released a little bit of that content. That was back in May of 23, a couple months ago. That was the 10th anniversary of the Hawaii Energy Conference, which is kind of interesting. I mean, in that a show was able to proceed for 10 years in and of itself. Doing something out here in Hawaii is quite an accomplishment, no matter what it is, if you ask me. And a show like that with real, real forward looking energy ideas, you know, this is the place to do it. And it 10 years. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're very much ahead of the curve when they started. Right. But it's since come into the super mainstream in Hawaii. We say it every single time, has been leading charge forever and ever. It just makes sense in that environment to really invest heavily in those technologies, research the technologies, try to deploy stuff, figure out what works. That's what Hawaii is all about.
Absolutely. And the show was great. You know, it was the Maui Arts and Cultural Center, like the shows pre-pandemic, right? Everyone was struggling in the trade show world over the last couple of years, but we were back to the Maui Arts and Cultural Center, beautiful venue, you know, and just such a good thing to be able to reconnect with everybody in the Hawaii energy conversation. There was a lot going on there. Now out here in Hawaii, of course, we have our, you know, country world's first renewable energy mandate. To get to 100%, and we are making progress, but there definitely are bumps in the road, and they were talking a lot about that during the show. RFP phase 3 is in the process, which is basically a procurement, large procurement for renewables, hoping to pick up some of the slack from the projects that fell out in RFP phase 2, which we know much about. We covered almost all of them.
The
one in Maui.
Yeah.
And for those at home, we're talking about projects anywhere from, you know, 15 megs with like 60 megawatt hours of storage, all the way on up to like a couple hundred megs. One of the largest ones, AES, is being deployed. When you fly into Maui, you can see that, Jay. It's, I don't know what the last time you were here, you saw that, but it's pretty impressive, right in the valley, right in the actual flight pattern of the jets. And you get a chance to see one of the larger, I think it's a 180, maybe a big one.
Yeah. I mean, all those projects were spec'd 4-to-1. From my understanding, right? And that was a mandate from the county for storage, generation to storage. And they really, they kind of need to be at that level. I mean, there's, if we're going to be fully dependent on renewable energies and we want the island to be able to run through the night, they really need to be at that level, or more. I mean, I'd like to see more storage. I'd like to see cheaper storage. I'd like to see different types of storage. I think that's a big thing for me. You know, I've always been a hydrogen proponent.
That's where
I see that as a longer term.
I understand it.
Yeah, exactly. And so the lithium technologies are great, but let's see some other stuff deployed and run in the real world. We're going to have a conversation in a bit about equipment operating in the real world. It's very different than a laboratory environment. That's one of the big benefits that Hawaii really brings to the table, is you're allowed to test this in some pretty harsh conditions in the real world. And I mean, people, companies fielding this technology really need to put that investment in.
100%. And, you know, we're here today to be able to talk a little bit of catch up from previous you know, months of what's been happening. Hawaii Energy Conference is a great example of that, or, you know, the procurement schedule for large scale renewables out here in Maui. There's the Johnson Controls contract that is kind of very Maui specific, but essentially the county is contracted out most of many of their county buildings to have Johnson Controls come in and do essentially a lease or a PPA on for renewable energies. Those are primarily solar plus storage, but there's also a big water movement load. I understand that's about 50% of the overall county bill. So all that stuff's happening in parallel with RFP phase three, was trying to pick up some of the slack from the projects in RFP phase two that didn't get through. Right. So we got great things happening out here in Hawaii and a lot to learn. And I do think we're going to see greater diversification in storage at the utility scale level, maybe even other levels. But we do have, David, some progress with KIUC and David Bissell's pump storage hydro over in Kauai. I understand, or perhaps challenges. I understand they have some opposition to that, actually. So we covered that maybe a year or so ago at one of the previous shows. So we're going to see, I think, probably in this RFP phase three, some more long duration storage options, even some storage in and of itself, not even with generation. You know, it's all about storage, right?
Sure. Interesting. I mean, that makes a lot of sense too. How much rooftop solar is deployed that has no storage attached to it at all? Right. We need to back that up.
Right. So Hawaii is a place to learn about how a isolated, let's say, an island without any connection to other grids deals with high percentage renewables. That's really what Hawaii is. And that's going to be part of the pitch for what? For RE plus Hawaii, Mr. Verkhart. Now, this is a long time in coming, I'll tell you. We did make note of it at Hawaii Energy Conference, and the fine people, I believe Leslie and Kathy, were out at Maui Arts Cultural Center, Hawaii Energy Conference. And they had a booth, and they were discussing RE plus Hawaii, and we launched it together here on the Solar Coaster channel. And so we are excited about that. That, for everyone, and just keep that on their calendar, is in January of 24. I believe it's the 22nd to the 23rd, tail end of January. And that's at the Alohilani Resort in Waikiki. And we did a scouting little mission out there maybe a couple months ago with the SETS team. And that's the RE plus organizing group, and had, you know, we looked at a bunch of different venues, and Alohilani was looking good. So that seems to be our committed venue. It is a great one. It's right near, Jay, you know Waikiki. It's right near the Duke statue, right? That famous statue right near Waikiki Beach. I mean, you could like literally, you know, come back to your hotel room with sand on your feet from Waikiki and from surfing longboards and, you know, in right on that.
Yeah, it sounds really rough, Mr. Porter. You know, I gotta go all these hotels and check them all out.
So very excited about RE plus. And Jay, if you recall, I mean, this has been a 3-year coming project, right? I've been working with the
at least the conversation is about there forever.
Yeah. And I think probably on the tips of our tongues from the very beginnings, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, RE plus, the present name of the basically the world's kind of largest or kind of most well-distributed trade show network for clean technology, based here in the United States. They now have 14 shows regionally around the world. And we're talking about South Africa, Spain, Canada, a bunch of regional shows throughout the United States, you know, the lower 48. And then, of course, now we're adding the Hawaii to that, which is fantastic. When we think about RE plus, or formerly SPI, we often think about the big show annually, because that's kind of where it all started. And I actually remember, Jay, I remember my partner in the solar business, he had been, and I hadn't, like back in 2014 or 15 or whatever, we had the beginning, right? And before Solar Coaster. And he said, oh, you got to go, it's unbelievable. And then you and I went to another show in California, the first one. And we were like, that's on, it's great. It's, you know, but he said, you got to go to SPI at the time, because he goes, it's so big, you're not going to believe it. And then we got a chance to go. I forget what year the first one was, but it was wonderful to see all the technology and all the people and all the industry, all the characters in this industry come together. And that body of people has just been growing ever since. And the trade show has been growing ever since. So, you know, being able to bring that here to Hawaii, is to me just, it's a natural evolution, man. It absolutely needs to happen.
Yeah, 100%. And we talk about those shows. I mean, it was interesting to me. I think the reason for people that don't know SPI, they rebranded to RE Plus. But the reason why is because they had SPI and the hydrogen group. I don't remember that Energy Storage International, a bunch of other. They're just all these separate groups, and they really aren't. They're not. It's not separate, right? All these technologies play off each other, and they really need to be in the same room, in the same 100%. All together. And so it became this one big. It's still the big show. I think, what did I call it? The 20,000 of the smartest people in renewable energies in one place, all at one time. You know, something good's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good people. So we have RE Plus Hawaii on the boards for January. That's the big news. I think there's going to be a lot of interest in attending that. And we are going to Vegas in just about 5 weeks' time in September for the large annual show. That's the big convening event annually in the United States of America. And it looks to me, just by kind of, you know, taking a guess and speculating, that it's going to be the largest one yet. And last year's, what, 27,000 attendees. I forget the number of exhibitors, but a pretty big one last year. Yeah. That was a record breaker. And this year looks like it'll probably exceed that. So we're talking about 30,000 attendees. That is plus probably. And
I would think so. You said something about the Hawaii show was in May. I need to remind people that the rest of the world is very slow in kind of waking up and getting back. The masks just fell away here in May.
Right.
Not to bring that back, but everybody in the world now is going to be coming instead of just local. And we already had 27,000 people. So I think it's going to be a big event.
They just opened Caesars Forum. So that says to me they had more interest than availability in room space, and the room space for the Venetian's big. I've been checking out the scope of that. I don't know if we've ever done one in this particular hall before. I think CES. I think I've been to CES at this particular hall. That's the Consumer Electronics Show, which we also cover, because we at Solar Coaster have always been excited about not just how you generate and store and develop clean energy projects, but also what you can do with all that cool abundant electrons. And you see stuff like that at CES, like air mobility and the electrification of maritime, and you name it.
so many cross-pollination opportunities for that type of stuff too, right? I mean, a lot of people were creating a product and then not necessarily bringing it to the renewable energy show, even though it's very much based in efficiency and good use of electricity, but they would go to CES. So you have to kind of cover both. And that's what I'm talking about. It's like, you can't have these shows as separate entities. They all exist kind of in the same environment.
Yeah, I mean, and CES, holy moly, you'd see stuff like, you know, like, you know, Sony Smart City, right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
That level. But when it comes to this year, there's a tremendous opportunity for us to head on out to Vegas at RE Plus Vegas for 2023, and to share the message of RE Plus Hawaii, right? So we're calling it, you ready for this? We're calling it the Solar Coaster Ninth Island Tour. And I know, Jay, you know what I'm talking about with this, but people outside of Hawaii may not necessarily know how connected Hawaii, I'm going to go Hawaii and Vegas are. And the thing is, Hawaii, I'm going to very rarely say Hawaiian, but Hawaiian citizens, citizens of the state of Hawaii and people here in Hawaii, they love to go to Vegas. They love to gamble. They love to go to shows, and they are. And so there's this huge connection, so much so that over the years, they've called it the Ninth Island. And so our tour in recognizing that and in honor of that relationship is Solar Coaster's Ninth Island Tour over there in Las Vegas. We've got loads of great things happening, and we're going to start rattling them off in a second. But how do you feel about doing a Ninth Island Tour, Jay, in Vegas?
That's the old joke. Like, where do you go on vacation if you live in Hawaii, right? Vegas is the answer, and it always has been. It's just a very different environment than any of the other islands.
Surely it is. So there's we're going to be doing a lot of really cool stuff actually this year, and really our mission is to continue to do to communicate with companies and learn about their technology and bring that out to our listeners and to our friends and family and all the people that we know around the world. But we got a bit of a new mission now, and that's to bring people to RE Plus Hawaii. And so to that end, we've got some extra activities, right? So I'll share a couple of these. Jump in however you like, Jay. But we are going to have a pop-up.
I want to preface this. Like, I've committed to this event, and I still don't know what we're doing. So explain it to me.
Okay, Jay. Let me tell you what we're up to, by the way. I've been having lots of phone calls. And this all started with, you know, Sets coming out here, the fine gentleman in leadership positions at Sets, and literally sitting here in Maui with me and saying, hey, we're going to do a show in Hawaii. What should we do? That was like 3 years ago, pre-pandemic. But now here in Vegas, we have an opportunity to share that message and to talk about Hawaii and RE Plus Hawaii and why you should come, right? So we hope everybody will come. We hope all 30,000 people in Vegas come to Hawaii. That's my goal, right? I think that might actually create problems for Waikiki.
But... Yeah, I'm going to say I don't think you actually want that, or you're not going to be very well liked.
Josh, get out of Hawaii. Your time here is finished. So,
but I would encourage everybody too, for the reasons that I already specified. Plus, it's a nice place to go and visit when you can.
Hey, right, first of all, before we get into the pitch, let's talk about what we're doing and opportunities that people and companies can participate in. So we have a pop-up interview station. The kind folks at Sets offered us a place to rest our weary bones throughout the show, because if you've seen us around in past years, we are moving and we're going from booth to booth and finding, and that literally has just been scratching our own itch, you know, so to speak. We just find the tech and the relationships and the people that are doing really neat things, and we bring that to bear. But this year we actually have an opportunity to have a pop-up at a location of our own, a physical space. And it's really cool. It's actually, as you come from the Venetian into the expo center on level two, there's a hallway. As you come out through that hallway, the escalators on your right and the power up media zone with Nico and Sets and Suncast are on the left. And the entrance is a little bit farther down on the right, if I got that right. So we're going to be right there in that main artery that pumps right into the entrance of the expo. And there's we love to, if in the past, some of my favorite interviews are the ones that we just do the man on the street stuff. And my guess is Vegas might be a little toasty this time of year. So I just said, hey, outside of the exhibit hall, but inside of the building, please, because we don't need to be sweating or having our batteries overheat out there in the sun outside. I think we can do an ad hoc interview or two, but for the
most part, I've lost enough equipment doing that, sir.
Exactly, right? I remember it overheating, actually. So where were we? Anaheim last time. So we have this great pop-up location on day, I'll say day zero. Jay likes to, I think he's coined the term day zero. That's Monday the 11th, Tuesday 12th, Wednesday 13th, and Thursday 14th. I believe those are the dates.
Correct.
And we'll arrive probably on Sunday the 10th earlier. But on the 11th, we actually have time in that space to do man on the street interviews as people arrive. So we say, come to the Solar Coaster pop-up interview station. Speak to us there. Let us know what your expectations are. What's going on in your part of the world? What are you excited about this year? And most importantly,
if you're an exhibitor, what cool stuff did you bring with you?
Yeah. Yeah.
We want to know.
So there are great opportunities. Day zero, we're going to call it. That's Monday the 11th. And of course, if you're a company that wants to drive business to your booth, we have sponsorship opportunities and interview opportunities for that day. So reach out to me. Josh Porter, 808-283-6079. You can text me. You can FaceTime me. You can call me. You can WhatsApp me. I don't care what time of day or night it is. If you're interested in supporting the Solar Coaster, please reach out. And we can do something very special for you. We can actually do an interview, and then we can help get that information up on social media, not just our channels, right? And not just your channels. Together, that's great right there, but also RE Plus channels. So they'll reshare out those interviews to the general public. People will be watching that, and then they'll say, hey, all right, great. This company is doing neat stuff. I want to go check it out. So that's a service that we can provide, and that helps us kind of pay the bills and make sure we can get out there and be a part of this every year, right? We have a really affordable options. And if you want to just take care of all of our expenses, we have a big kahuna option too. So join us however you like. But that's for day zero, which I'm excited about because we get out of the sun, but we're right there in the mix. It's that huge flow of people. We will be distributing information about RE Plus and various opportunities for Hawaii. So you'll be able to learn about that there, and you'll be able to do your interviews there. So that's day zero. That's fantastic. Yay. Thank you to Sets for that. We have a couple other things going on. Any questions about that, Jay?
No, I just want to point out, like, they've actually done this for us before when we start sharing things, and it's kind of embarrassing, at least on my side, where like every single monitor in the hall our faces all over it. So if you want to have your face on those monitors, you need to come and talk to us.
So, well, let's jump over to monitors. So there's going to be a bit of a pitch in this episode, folks, but we'll try to like just get through the meat of it quickly. We actually have last year in Anaheim, we did something called Solar Coaster Jumbotron program. And this year, that was actually at Anaheim Stadium with a massive Jumbotron over the baseball field, right? It was huge. Yep. And we had some of our longtime contributors and friends, sponsoring companies, participate in that program with us. If you'd like to be on the Jumbotron in Vegas, which is above level 2 entrance hall, then just let us know. We can get you up there. We can even help you with production if it's early enough on your content and your messaging. Those would be pretty fast pieces, probably in the 30-second, 20-second territory. You could push it a little bit if you have a message you want to get out there. But the bottom line is that is an unbelievable location, rotating on the hour throughout the entire show. This is just Jumbotron hit, Jumbotron hit, Jumbotron hit, with all that flow in and out of the hall. That's a great way to create awareness. Even if you're not an attendee or an exhibitor, if you want to communicate to this massive audience, you can do it. That's a great value, and there's opportunity in the Jumbotron. So we got the pop-up, which is great. We've got a place to live. We got the Jumbotron program, just like last year. We got the social media share program, which is all part of the same fun, right? So that's, what do you think about all that, Jay? That's a good start, right?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it again. It's been so long for me, at least getting out of Japan and finally coming back doing some events. It's going to be a good time. And that's what this is all about, really. I mean, we're communicating with like-minded folks, getting all the information we can, and really trying to make sense of the whole picture.
100%. All right, so let's jump over to some other stuff that's going on. We actually will be collaborating with the Power Up Media Zone. Nico Johnson, Suncast, and Sets have this great podcast environment where other podcasters can come in and other companies can come in and share long form audio. You know, this is our wheelhouse, right? So we're going to be doing a podcast there. We haven't got the date scheduled yet, but I think it's like about a half hour show. That will be a lot of fun. Of course, I'll be talking RE Plus Hawaii. I'll be talking why to come to Hawaii. I'll be talking Maui. I'll be talking Oahu, Big Island, Kauai, Lanai, Molokai, Niihau, all of it, right? I mean, maybe I'll even throw a lot of it. For you Hawaii people that love Hawaii, you know, those are the islands, right? So we got the Power Up Media Zone. Now, in addition to the RE Plus Hawaii session at Power Up Media Zone, we also are going to be doing co-hosting with Nico Johnson on, I think it's, I want to say Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at the end of the day. It's called the Roundup, the Podcasters Roundup. I may have missed the terminology on that, but that was a lot of fun in previous years. We got a chance to talk about what we saw on the show floor. We got a chance to get every kind of review what the day's events were like, talk about what we were doing that night and all the crazy events that are going on around the city. We're going to be doing that roundtable, I believe is what it's called, with Nico and the Power Up Media Zone. So there you go. We're already kind of chock full at that point, right? But we actually have something else. And this one is kind of wild, Jay. We have been on the main stage in the past, but we have never had our own main stage actual session. But this year we do.
Okay.
Okay. So if you can, probably.
What are we? Yeah, what are we doing?
Well, we're going to be doing a Solar Coaster radio show, old style, just like we would do it
in
Wailuku, on stage. And we're going to be talking with leaders from all around Hawaii. Mr. Doug McLeod, longtime contributor and friend to the Solar Coaster, literally been on the show maybe 10 times right over the last 5 years, and in studio back here in Maui. And Doug's going to be a part of this. We're going to have an opportunity to speak with former PUC executives. We're going to be talking with Hawaiian Electric team members. We're going to be talking with probably installation team members. I've spoken with a handful of installers recently, and because they're really on the ground on traditionally the resi and the O&M CNI front, we're going to get an opportunity to hear how are these systems working, what's going on in the front lines of the battle, in a sense, to get to 100% renewable energies. So we're going to have an opportunity to talk about, give peel back the onion a little bit on Hawaii, learn about each of the different islands. I'm sure we're going to have great collaboration from different organizations here in Hawaii, and then hopefully convince people to come and join us at RE Plus Hawaii and learn from this.
That's going to be fantastic. I don't think we have enough time to sit on the stage and go through it all. But I mean, can you imagine the knowledge in that? We're so far ahead of the curve normally.
Hawaii.
It's so much knowledge on stage.
there's a lot of experiences to be brought to bear here, from trying to, you know, our battery attachment rate has got to be 80% right now. I've seen Tesla solar roofs over the last couple of weeks that are just spectacular in Kauai by the Rising Sun guys. I've seen even island microgrids going in throughout the Pacific. I've seen large scale renewables. I'm hearing people talk about hydrogen in very serious ways on project specific things. I mean, you know, we've got a new hybrid bus system in Maui. We've got, you know, you name it. We've got there's all different kinds of things happening in Hawaii that give you a taste of what it'll look like a little further down the road in wherever you are in the world. And I think that's really one of the primary value propositions. The other thing that's interesting about Hawaii is that we have very expensive electricity. That's why all this stuff happens, right? Last time I did the math on mine, beyond the solar plus battery system that we have in place, when I pay an overage, it's about 43 cents a kilowatt hour. So I'm doing my best. That's, you know, probably four times some averages across the country in reasonably placed price environments. And in some of the least expensive, like, what was the name of that place? Douglas PUD with the run of river. And they said they had about 2 or 3 cents a kilowatt hour energy. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot more expensive than that. So here's the thing, whatever product you have, the ROI, the simple payback period, the penciling of that financial value proposition is more aggressive here than anywhere else in the United States. That's just the bottom line. It pencils here. It works here. So you come to deploy.
And it works fast. That's the thing. I mean, you can instantly turn it around.
Now that is not at the choice timing. I believe it's pretty much around the time the exhibit hall opens. So we will ask you to come if you would be so kind to attend. I'm looking at it as an opportunity to communicate that. But I will tell you this, we're going to be signing up with some special incentives, booths, sponsorships, space, video opportunities, digital signage opportunities for RE Plus Hawaii. So if you're thinking, hey, we're going to go, send one of your staff over to sign up and be a part of what's going on, because it's going to be special incentives only there. That's going to happen at our Solar Coasters Ninth Island Tour Master Speaker Series event in RE Plus.
And you don't want to be packed in front of those doors waiting for them to open anyway. Arrive fashionably late and say you already went to Hawaii. Yeah.
You don't want to be too eager. I mean, come on, you know, you got to have a little panache here. So come and hang out with us, talk Hawaii, and then go to the exhibit hall. Let the riffraff kind of
nice,
really hard. So there you go. That's the fun. That is basically what we're doing. Now, I will tell you, there's a couple of things on the down low we're not quite ready to talk about yet, but we will be doing one way or t'other a very densely packed interview schedule throughout the, let's say, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, we won't get much going on a Thursday, I think the half day, but Tuesday, Wednesday, possibly some of Thursday, depending on how schedule shakes out. One way or another, we may be collabing with Nico Johnson on some of his booth attendee kind of approaches. The bottom line is that we're going to be out there in the space. We're going to be meeting with various companies that we need to get updates. I'll tell you what I'm excited about, Jay, right out of the gate. I hope that SolarEdge brings the bi-directional DC V to H EV charger. Because now I hear their launch date is actually fall of 24. I didn't read that, but my Doug mentioned that to me, which is pretty far off. But they did launch it at InterSolar Munich. That was just recently, a couple months ago.
Yeah, and as far as I understand, I mean, it's technologically, it's kind of done. It's just a matter of getting all the automotive manufacturers on board and power company certifications and stuff that they need to really make
it could be viable
in the marketplace.
Yeah. I mean, look, the F-150 can deliver power right now, AC, right?
Yeah.
And they can, you can charge via two onboard chargers. That's the way they get that high charging capacity on the F-150. So you have a taker right now, right, on the AC side, but the DC, I haven't seen that yet, right? So meaning you're able to get DC out of that vehicle and then invert it at your solar inverter, I suppose, for house loads, right?
Right.
Move it.
But if the system's smart enough, you go DC into your home battery, you can
no, that's, top that that's up. Precisely it.
So exactly the way. And you never want to do that if you go DC AC again. I mean, you're losing what, at least 20%.
Yeah, there's
of your power to heat.
What's the thing that excites me, and I don't want to make this the Solar Edge show, but the thing that excites me about V2H is I'm really living this at the moment, Jay. You know, mm-hmm. It was a long time. This is not the type of stuff that just popped into our life. We've been wanting to do this for a long time, but we actually have, you know, a pretty sizable solar system that's in self-supply mode here in Makawa. And I just put it in over the last couple of years. We have a battery. We're going to have a second battery shortly. They're Solar Edge E-Hub batteries, the battery bank. We have an integrated EV charger. And we were fortunate enough to be able to buy an EV. So my wife, Susie, has a Tesla Model Y. And with that technology, plus we also have the load control panel, the SPAN system in this home, did some work with SPAN on that. It's very interesting to see how this technology kind of works together. And I mean that in that we just had we just had a power outage a couple of days ago. And I told mm-hmm. Jay about it just before the show. But what's really neat about this stuff is that how you live with it on a day-to-day basis, and then the opportunities it presents when you have some events, when you have some, not necessarily catastrophic, but interruption events, and the potential for what would happen if it was catastrophic. So, mm-hmm. because it's real, you know, we have changes in our weather patterns. We just had a hurricane threat the other day. It was as usual, you know, Mauna Kea, Mauna Loa did their job, broke it up, and Maui was fine, but we just got wet. But what's really neat about this technology is that, like, in the middle of the day, if the car's around, we kind of gamify when to charge because we want to use those free electrons, right? So we want to come back and get that sunshine. So it's not like simply a fun thing for us. Like, it is fun, but it's not like, oh, I want to charge on sunshine. Isn't that a neat trick? It's like, oh, I don't want to pay 42 cents kilowatt hour to take that Tesla from 50% to 80% charge, which is like 20, you know, 20 kilowatt hours or like 10 bucks or something like that. Right. So yep. It's really neat when you get into that world and you start to live with it. I can, and I know, cause our sun's pretty consistent out here. I know my battery is going to be charged from the night's discharge on a daily basis by about 10. Right. So at 10, I want more loads, and that load either can be the hot tub at this point, or pretty much, or the EV, one or the other. Those are only two big loads I have. So load stacking is kind of the next game for us. But you're just constantly trying to get that bill down by trying to take advantage of that free energy that's there in a self-supply system, meaning we're not backfeeding to the grid. Very cool. So we're going to continue to play that game on a daily energy arbitrage basis, effectively shouldering energy from the middle of the day to the evening. We get through the evening. We even curtail some loads sometimes on a regular basis. But then once you get through and you find yourself in a situation where you're doing that for, you know, weeks, months, whatever, and then boom, something happens. So 2 days ago, there was a car accident. And I haven't heard of any, you know, fatalities or anything like that. So I don't think anyone was seriously hurt. I was looking at the news last couple of days. But the bottom line is there was a car accident and it hit a pole in Makawa, where we live. And it knocked
just
out
down the street from you. Yeah.
Middle of the day. It knocked out both power and internet. So Spectrum was out from, like, let's say this was around 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock or something like that. They say we're going to be out until like 6, 7 p.m. Spectrum's down. Right. And the power's out as well, of course. So right away, everything starts beeping in the house. I'm literally VRing in the middle of the day because my family's around. I'm hanging out with them, but I'm like VRing at the same time. So it's kind of like a hang around with the family day, goofing around. And boom, right in the middle of my game, I'm doing some first person shooter in like what do you call it? Those kinds of games, whatever they are. And out goes the headset. And then I look up and what's going on? And then I see we're in curtailed loads. My phone, SPAN, gives me a shot, a text message right away, or an alert from the app. And then my Solar Edge app gives me an alert right away. And then the interesting thing was, we happened to be charging the Tesla at that point. It was the middle of the day and I was trying to grab those free electrons.
Right, right.
It didn't occur to me right away. Why? Because everything continued to work because the solar was booming so much, 8+, maybe even up to 9 kW. The battery was full, so that can discharge, add to that about 5 kW, right? So you've got 10, 12, 13 kW of power to move wherever you need it. Tesla charges max at about 10
kW. Yeah, you're in whole house backup.
Totally whole house backup. Not only are we in whole house backup, all of our loads curtailed. So the house loads were down in like 300 watt territory. But the Tesla was sucking juice out of mostly the solar at for maybe like 10, 15, 20 minutes at full 10 kW, right? The battery was, I could see it. Yeah. And what's neat is that you would think, oh, well, how would you get that if the internet was down? Well, all of these devices have mobile capability. So we're working off of cell towers. So we're literally seeing it on our phones.
Yeah, okay, to see it, yes. But I mean, it knows what to do regardless. I mean, if it loses all connectivity, it still does what it's programmed to do.
It did do that. It did know what it's programmed to do. It curtailed loads. But the interesting thing was, and this is the world that we're living in. Shaq's going to geek out a little bit on this. But because I hadn't initialized the integrated EV charger to the Solar Edge system, that bad boy doesn't land on the span load control panel. It lands on it's directly integrated to the inverter and the gateway.
Okay.
So that's the solar system, right? The EV charger in the case of the eHub system is integrated. So I hadn't initialized that yet. I was trying to, but I couldn't figure out how to do it exactly. So the EV, the charging of the Tesla continued to happen. Whereas if it was initialized and correctly set up, I'm sure it would shed that load during a power outage, right?
Right.
So I had to go out and physically pull out the Tesla charger, the Solar Edge charger of the Tesla. And then we were just running very low wattages. And then I actually went into the Span app and said, well, what do I want to work right now? Yes, I had set these things up to work during an outage, but what do I want to work? Well, I have a pump house. I want to make sure my water pressure is working because we want to use water, right? So I went into the app and literally just pulled it over from one section to the X. Boom, pump house is on. Whenever we run water, it repowers. That's the way a catchment system works. It repressurizes the system. So, I mean, I just felt like, wow, this is really the world that we've been discussing for years. I had never been in an outage with an EV. We had the outage last time pre-EV, right? That big one.
Right.
And we're just getting closer and closer to seeing how our lives can be positively impacted by this technology. There was a great sense of security. There was a great sense of authorship. Is that the term? Like power. I felt empowered to be able to make decisions rather than just, we're out of power. Let's just hang out and see what happens. Or maybe I'll go fire up the generator and get all greasy and get, I used to do that. Right.
When was the last time you turned that thing over? Actually,
yeah, no, it's been a couple years. There's been an opportunity. I'm going to go and get my generator going, and boom, 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 and I do it all, and I'm like happy. And then what does it sound? There's a fire truck like running right next to you. It's a monster, right? So then everyone in the neighborhood's out of power, and of course. Yep. J-Po over here, Josh J-Po, that's calling me that, is running some huge honking generator that everyone can hear. Not only is it like, oh, great, that jerk has power, but now he's, you know, making us deaf. So
yeah, right.
That's all done, you know? So it's really quite interesting. And I could see as we get further down the road, Jay, there's other things that will continue to smooth out that process for us. So there you go. That's my long-winded overview of the experience.
Nice. Well, you did not mention your failure parts, which is you don't need to name specific manufacturers, but do because that plays directly into.
This is interesting. So every time one of these happens, you learn a little bit something new, right?
Yep.
And in the case of this particular power outage, I want to say maybe 5 hours, fairly long, maybe 4. But we actually went out because we had other things to do during that period, and. We came back on, but we had some on and offs and pretty heavy. It was like you could hear a kind of like, boom, here comes the power. It wasn't gentle, right? Let's put it that way. And So the breakers inside of the panel, the breakers, they came with the house. They were here with the house when I bought the house. Those are the same breakers. They're arc protected breakers, which it turns out, as I talked to different engineers, they're like, those are kind of finicky, right? They tend to go when there are problems. Mm-hmm. So three of my breakers, I've got, you don't know, 20 or something like that in that I'm using and I can dynamically control. But three of those physical breakers actually were damaged, it appears. I cannot reset them. And although we were able to reset them digitally, I had to, I basically have to replace those. So I was downtown today looking at trying to get the exact type of breaker. I don't want to mix and match. Apparently it's important that you have the exact thing in there. So that is a consequence of power.
It's a big issue. And what I was saying before is that a lot of manufacturers, they live in cities, they live in places where power is pretty good, pretty stable, on the cycles are correct. You know, I mean, everything, it's good stuff. And when you live in an environment like Hawaii, there may or may not be a given that you get that. I mean, well, it worked in the lab. This is not a lab environment. This is a real world environment.
Right. There's weird
and you want to be testing your stuff in the real world. So there's no better place to, you want to be in the Hawaii market, if only for that data.
Yeah, there's value in and of that. I remember companies from Japan coming out saying that exact thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly.
Data, you know, that was it.
Yep.
Another thing that occurred to me is I would like to keep some breakers on hand, right? It's actually, they're not that
expensive. Well, now you know you need the extra.
Yeah, so I just put a couple of breakers in there, just like in my pantry to know that, you know, if it were to go, I can just swap it out. So
you don't need light bulbs anymore because they're all LED, but now you keep some breakers.
True enough. So that's my recent power outage story and my recent and over the last, you know, six, we've only had the Tesla for, since the beginning of the year. So that's all been new. And that's a really amazing experience, you know, because we've heard so much about that. We've reported on it so much. You know, we've thought about this world for so long and to start to
imagine what it was going to be like. Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's now.
And no, it's pretty remarkable. It's pretty remarkable to drive on sunshine, which is pretty much what's going on here, you know?
That was the question I asked you. It was like, why do you unplug the Tesla if it's charging off those panels?
Yes. And my answer was, we charge up to 86%. That's the general, thought on how to optimize battery life in this car.
Sure.
Charge up to 86%. We don't charge to 100. And we were at 84%. So I thought, let's just unplug it. I ran out there and unplugged it right away. I didn't even think about it. And then I saw that after the fact. And so we didn't need to get to the last 2%. It was okay. Rather get stability in the house, you know. But I thought the issue of how the mobile works was really interesting. And then I thought the cell service, because there's a cell option in the span panel. Apparently there's a cell option, I believe, in the SolarEdge system as well. And of course there's all kinds of connectivity with the Tesla. So everything is there on our phone. We're able to see everything on the app on the three different systems. One thing occurred to me though, is what happens if cell towers go down and your Wi-Fi is down? So yeah, I think Doug McLeod had said it to me and then you said it. So like you guys both said, well, what happens if cell towers? Because that's what would happen during a hurricane, right? Potentially.
And Doug and I are both beta testers. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. So what that said to me, and I'm going to ask these guys about this is, on the car, you've got a digital screen. So you can see what's going on in the car. In the case of the load control panel and in the case of the inverter, there's some lights and there's some ways to manipulate the settings on the inverter system. But it would be nice if there was like a little connector and a USB or a display, basically a digital display that you could manipulate and make changes to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like more, there's less to do on the inverter side of the front. That's just display and battery. But there's more to do on the load control side. So if you had like a little display, ideally touchscreen display.
Management console.
So management console, and it was connected not via Wi-Fi or cell, maybe via Bluetooth or preferably a cable. Right. Mm-hmm. Maybe a USB.
Some of the modules had XP in them, which is a low local mesh networking protocol for home automation stuff. That may or may not be in current models, honestly, not sure. But I mean, I'm thinking back to old router days. And for the folks that don't know, I spent 30 years in IT. And yeah, it's a little serial management port on the back of your routers and stuff. That's how we got to everything. So it's certainly doable.
Yes.
And people have kind of forgotten about that technology when everything went wireless, but.
And you know, it just reminds me of the, when we're trying to explain load controls early in the era of this, the renewable energy revolution, 5-6 years ago. And then we were working with Troy over at Pantech Design, and Troy's doing some really neat stuff. Pantech Design, the creators of Adapt Energy, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we created those Pantech Design minutes, which we ran on the radio show. And we were thinking, how do you take a minute and explain the complexity of all this stuff? And it was,
right.
through the experience rather than the tech. So what right. happens when this situation arises? And that's what I just experienced. It was the experience of a power outage with the technology in place and with understanding of how to utilize it. And it wasn't super complicated. There were a couple of things to consider, but this is what companies can get out here. They can get products that pencil quickly. There are actually lots of incentives for these different technologies, not just the tax credits. There's other things going on out here. Hawaii Energy.
Yeah, in state, there's a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Lots of stuff in Hawaii. So to even further accelerate that ROI, right? Or that simple payback period and decrease the ROI. So, decrease payback, increase, whatever. You get the idea. So the bottom line is that this is the place you can do that. You can products, they work on a financial basis, and then you can learn about how they actually work real world for the rest of your markets around the world. So there's kind of a twofer in that, right? And I'm always excited about that. So
people don't quite understand, like I said, people don't understand that Hawaii is actually a pretty hostile environment for technology. You think about products on roof up there, we have issues with high salt content, air. Yeah. Rubber and stuff degrade and things rust. Like you think you have to put them in a little box and do 10-year testing on your parts. Try it on a real roof and you're going to be shocked at just how fast stuff degrades in the state of Hawaii. And then of course the power issues that we have. I mean, when I was there, we lost power at least once a month, just as a normal matter of course. So down Baldwin was not nice for power or cable.
If the integration, you know, as you move away from some of this conventional firm power, as you decommission some of these plants like Ma'alaya eventually and Kahului, I think more recently, right? And as you start to, these are the locations of the gensets out here, the power plants. I wonder if it creates more or less certainty and quality issues in the lines. So I think you probably got some complexity that this grid is not really prepared for. And there's issues about how to maintain quality, power quality. And I have to look into the details of that. But the bottom line is that, you know, this equipment does the job. It's a great environment to test it out in. And it's also kind of fun. You know, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to see
worst thing, you know, you're an lead engineer on the project, you know, well, I have to go out to Hawaii to reevaluate this particular installation, you know.
100%. And that's the other piece about RE Plus Hawaii in January. That's 22nd and 23rd at the Alohi Lani Resort. You guys, I don't know if you know that's when the whales are here, right? That's when
that's true.
Cold in the rest of the country. That's when, you know, you've already finished the holidays, right? You're talking about like that January. I remember we're Jersey boys. We used to live in New Jersey and in Massachusetts. So we know what it's like out there, right? But here, I'll tell you what, it's really nice here that time of year. It's a great place to come do business. And I think that you can probably convince your respective company leads to budget out the RE Plus opportunity here for Hawaii.
Well, it's going to be worth it no matter what. I mean, as far as pure business expense, and then the travel is just kind of a bonus.
Oh, yeah, it's very good. Very good. I will say that I keep trying to bring this into the conversation, but I think that Hawaii is a great place to do business across the Pacific. And today, ironically, I see one of my friends, or a new friend actually on LinkedIn. I got to show it to you, Jay. It's a an island in Fiji that's maybe the Rising Sun guys and Tesla, they were involved in some, but they did a microgrid in Fiji, a Fijian island, right? Beautiful, right? So those things are out here. Those are the obvious ones. But you also have, it's an interesting place to do business. First of all, people want to be here, right? You're not going to have any hard time telling staff that you've got, hey, we're going to open up an office in Hawaii. They're going to be stoked to make the move. And what's neat about it is you can do morning business with the East Coast, because that's the end of the East Coast day. It's like 6 hours essentially. Yep. So I'll make, whenever someone from the East Coast wants to do business, I'll say, hey, your PM, my AM, I get on the horn right away and do that. Throughout the day, you can do more business on the West Coast, right? As the time shifts. And then in the evening, I call up Jay, who's in, around 2 p.m. my day. And I, hey, Jay, what's up, man? Let's catch up. Jay's in Osaka. Jay's on the other side of the Pacific. And, you know, that's, there's a whole world of business. There's a whole world of sourcing opportunities all throughout Southeast Asia, for example. There's a whole world of potentially business opportunities. Like if you're, I remember some of the software guys that we were talking with, they were starting offices out here because they're like, well, I want to open up my Australia a business plan. I want to open up my Southeast Asia business plan. And they have software. So it's just about communication, right? And then they can just, so I think Hawaii is a great place to locate your business is my message.
100%. I mean, you sit out here and a lot of those smaller island nations out this way, they don't have quite the mass to sponsor their own show. It's never going to happen. So those folks come to Hawaii for events. They want to be part of the project. You know, to get us to 100% renewables. Generally speaking, it's a lot like Hawaii, where it's way too expensive. You know, they're still shipping in bunker fuel for generators.
Oh my goodness!
They need to get off this stuff, and they know it. So they're usually pushing pretty hard. The cost of electricity is too high. The environments are very conducive to getting the energy products in country, and all you need to do is get in front of them and have the conversation.
There you go. So that is the pretty much the skinny there, folks. This has been great to sit down with Mr. Verkhart and talk about Solar Coaster things again. We are going to be in Vegas at RE Plus 23. Super excited to see everybody again. And then we're planning with our Ninth Island Solar Coaster's Ninth Island Tour, the RE Plus Hawaii in January of 24, which is the 22nd to 23rd at the Alohilani Resort. If you want to sign up and you're convinced by this podcast alone that you're going to go to RE Plus Hawaii, call me. I can get you a booth. I can get you a sponsorship. I can get you digital space. You can do that right through the Solar Coaster, which is awesome. And we're going to make this one of the greatest events ever. So please join us. Jay, what say you? Any final words?
Give them your phone number again, first of all, so that people can contact you. No, but it's
283-6079. I'm going to do it. You said it.
That's an 808, which is Hawaii area code for those that don't know.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fantastic show. Like I said, I'm looking forward to getting back on it. It's been interesting being over in Asia for a while, but I want to go to the big show, and this is going to be fun.
Let's go. All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in to the Solar Coaster. We appreciate you very much, and you'll see a couple more shows before we get to Vegas. And Vegas is right around the corner, so make sure you stop into the Solar Coaster pop-up booth at the Venetian hallway heading into level 2 entrance. Don't forget about our Jumbotron program. Don't forget about the Power Up Media Zone. Don't forget about our main stage speaker series event. Join the Solar Coaster's Ninth Island Tour in Vegas. Thank you very much. We'll see you out there soon. Aloha, folks.
Have a good one.